In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, in writing my new book, I went through all 16 documents of the Vatican II pretty thoroughly. It talks so much about interfaith worship and how good all these other religions are and ecumenism. And we're the only religion they discriminate against. Traditional Catholics, all the other religions, it's fine, but we're treated much differently. And a number of untruths have been spoken and written by the Archdiocese of Los Angeles from a pulpit and also in the press. Okay, one is that we're schismatic, and we talked about that before in another sermon. I'll discuss that again. And then another one is from the pulpit. They said I was not even ordained a priest. And I remember somebody went into a realty office and said, yeah, the local priest said, you know, there's a new church in town, and the priest wasn't even ordained. And the lady said, that's a lie. I was there at the ordination in Mount St. Michael in Spokane. I was there. I witnessed it. And then another said, I'm not a validly ordained Catholic priest. So that was on the internet. So I wrote to the head of the media relations for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and I told him about my ordination, the facts. So he wrote back and he said, Father Dominic is a validly ordained Catholic priest because the bishop who ordained him was in the valid line of apostolic succession. But then he said, but he doesn't have any jurisdiction. But I'll explain that today. So he said, I don't have the faculties for certain things. So faculties or jurisdiction has to do with matrimony and confession, and we'll discuss that in a moment. Also, they've said it's a mortal sin to attend a Trident and Latin Mass. They never use the word mortal sin for anything else, but this is the only thing that's it's a mortal sin. And then attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Queen of Angels, does not fulfill one Sunday obligation. Yes, it does. It's a valid Mass. It's the same Mass that was by, if you're old enough, your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents and even your parents maybe, and it goes on and on. So, I mean, how could that, it's the same thing. So those parishioners who have attended Mass at Queen of Angels for a while know well the validity of my ordination to the priesthood. However, for the sake of review and for the many new members of our parish, I'll describe the validity of all the bishops in conjunction with it. I've been a member of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen since 1973. Due to severe illness, my ordination was delayed. I completed my seminary studies at Mount St. Michael in Spokane, Washington in 1988. The Dominican Bishop Robert McKenna ordained my twin brother and me on May 27th, 1988, using the traditional Catholic rite of ordination. I served at Queen of Angels Catholic Church for more than 33 years. As you know, Queen of Angels is a traditional Catholic church that's not in any way under the auspices of or connected with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, based on the fact that the Catholic Church teaches that heretics immediately lose jurisdiction. I'll trace for you the details regarding the apostolic succession of Bishop Robert McKenna, who ordained me. If you look at your papers, we'll go through that. This is from a Catholic dictionary. It says the New Catholic Dictionary, but it was printed in 1910, over 100 years ago. Apostolic succession is the uninterrupted succession of lawfully ordained bishops extending from the apostles down to the present bishops of the church. So the true church has to be connected from the apostles because they receive the power for confirmation and holy orders from Jesus Christ himself, and we have to be connected to the apostles. That's one of the marks of the church, apostolic, one holy Catholic apostolic. So apostolic succession is the uninterrupted succession of lawfully ordained bishops. So the church has to exist to the end of time, so the apostolic succession has to exist till the end of time. It hasn't ended. extending from the apostles down to the present bishops of the church, who have thus received the powers of ordaining, ruling, and teaching bestowed on the apostles by Christ. So if you look in the list, Bishop McKenna did not persist in collusion with the apostasy of the Second Vatican Council. Bishop McKenna can be traced back in the following way. So you can see all these names on the paper. In 1938, Bishop Dumontier, the vicar apostolic of Saigon in Vietnam, consecrated Father Peter Nodin Tuk. In 1981, Archbishop Tuk consecrated the Dominican theologian Father Gerard Delarier. In 1986, Bishop Delarier consecrated a fellow Dominican, Father Robert McKenna, from the United States. Father McKenna had been previously ordained by Archbishop Mileto Ciccone in 1958. In 1988, Bishop McKenna ordained my twin brother and me. These consecrations are universally accepted as valid, even by the hierarchy of the post-conciliar church. These consecrations cease to be controversial once all the facts are known and have been accepted by those of good will. A short background of the bishops involved is quite interesting. So we'll start with Archbishop Tuk. He was born in 1897. He died in 1984. He's the brother of the former president of South Vietnam, President Diem. After studying philosophy in the major seminary in Hue, he was sent to study theology in Rome and returned in 1927 after being awarded three doctorates, one in canon law, one in theology, and one in philosophy. In 1938, Father Tuk was consecrated by Bishop Dumontier. After Vatican II, Archbishop Tuk completely repudiated the council and its heretical documents. To him, the council was not a genuine Catholic council, so it had to be rejected whole and entire with all its un-Catholic teachings. He condemned modernism, false ecumenism, and false religious liberty. Archbishop Tuk also rejected the new Mass, the new rites for the sacraments of confirmation, holy orders, and extreme unction. In his declaration of 1982, Archbishop Tuk wrote, "Thus, therefore, insofar as I am a bishop of the Roman Catholic Church, I judge the see of the Roman Catholic Church," in other words, the chair of St. Peter, "to be vacant. And it behooves me as a bishop to do all things necessary that the Catholic Church of Rome may endure for the eternal salvation of souls." He saw that faithful, genuinely Catholic bishops and priests were needed to teach the true Catholic faith and provide traditional Catholics with the means of grace necessary for salvation. Archbishop Tuk was determined to promote the true Catholic faith and defend her against modernism, false ecumenism, and the disastrous liturgical changes following Vatican II. Archbishop Tuk consecrated worthy men as bishops, namely the French Dominican priest Father Gerard Delarier, and the Mexican priest from Acapulco, Father Moises Carmona. It's by way of these truly Catholic bishops that the American Tuk line of bishops developed, including my superior, Bishop Mark Pivoronis, who confirmed many of you. The faithful Tuk bishops are teaching the true and unchanged Catholic faith and are making the divine means of grace available. Archbishop Tuk used the traditional Catholic rite in validly consecrating these bishops who are in the line of apostolic succession. These consecrations were also listed because Archbishop Tuk recognized and declared that the chair of St. Peter was vacant because it was occupied by a public heretic. Archbishop Tuk and the bishops who were consecrated by him knew that they cannot obtain the normally required papal mandate that would authorize them to consecrate new bishops because there was no genuine pope at the Vatican who could grant that papal mandate. So in such an emergency situation, they decided to consecrate bishops with what's called epikaia. It's a Greek word, or presumed permission to do so. This reflects the mind of the Catholic Church that the salvation of souls is the supreme law. Epikai comes from a Greek word meaning reasonable. It's an indulgent and benign interpretation of law, which regards a law as not applying in a particular case because of circumstances unforeseen by the lawmaker. Only God is the only lawmaker that can see all possibilities. No one else can. The lawmaker cannot foresee all possible cases that may come under the law, and it's therefore reasonably presumed that were the present circumstances known to the legislator, he would permit the act. For example, we're obliged to attend Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. But a mother presumes that she may miss Mass on Sunday when there's no one to care for her sick baby. Epikaia. Another example of epikaia is when during an emergency, an ambulance, fire truck, or police car goes through a red light. According to Father Noel Barbara, two fortunate things followed from this recognition of the absence of any authority. It allowed both the consecrator, in other words, the bishop, and those consecrated, the priests who are going to become bishops, to invoke the principle of epikai and presuming the apostolic mandate, and as a result, render the consecrations not only valid, but also licit. The bishops who derived their consecration from Archbishop Took have behaved in an openly Catholic manner, believing Francis and these other false popes to be the principal destroyers of the Catholic faith. They refuse to pay any attention to their decisions. They know very well that they cannot be the vicars of Christ. Francis said he possesses absolutely no authority, and they declare this openly. They do not have to wait until a genuine Catholic Pope is elected. In an emergency situation, as when the chair of St. Peter's occupied by a public heretic, the Church supplies the necessary jurisdiction for consecrating new bishops without papal mandate. Since Archbishop Took was a validly consecrated bishop, in the line of apostolic succession, my orders are certainly valid. As Father Gregory Coiro, who is head of the media relations for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, confirmed after his thorough investigation. There's a historical precedent for consecrating bishops without papal mandate. During the nearly 3-year interregnum between the death of Pope Clement IV in 1268 and the election of Pope Gregory X in 1271, there were vacancies in various dioceses throughout the world because the bishops died. The historian Dr. Stefano Filiberto has written, in order that the priest and faithful be not left without a spiritual shepherd, 21 bishops were elected and consecrated to fill the vacancies. The most important aspect of this historical precedent is that all these consecration of bishops without papal mandate were ratified by Pope Gregory X, who consequently affirmed the lawfulness of such consecrations. And then about Bishop Gerard de Laurier. In 1981, Archbishop Took consecrated Father Gerard de Laurier, a Dominican theologian of outstanding talent and zeal for the Catholic faith, who later taught at the Lateran University in Rome. Father de Laurier became a confidant of Pope Pius XII, and in 1950 assisted him in drawing up the documents proclaiming the dogma of the Assumption of Our Lady. He spearheaded the traditional movement in Rome in the late 1960s. Bishop de Laurier is the author of the famous Ottaviani Intervention, a document that exposed the errors and un-Catholic nature of the new Mass. And then about Bishop McKenna. In 1986, Bishop de Laurier consecrated Father Robert McKenna, who is another Dominican. In 1958, Father McKenna was ordained in Washington, D.C. by the Vatican's Apostolic Delegate to the United States, Archbishop Amleto Ciccanoni. Among other duties, he was assigned to the Leonine Commission for editing a critical edition of the works of St. Thomas Aquinas. He worked in Paris, Ottawa, and then finally at Yale University. In 1973, he joined the rising traditionalist movement. Bishop McKenna was a renowned exorcist. Father McKenna had been previously ordained by Archbishop Amleto Ciccanoni in 1958. Cardinal Amleto Ciccanoni was ordained in 1905, received a doctorate of canon law, taught at the Lateran University School of Canon Law, and served for 25 years as the apostolic delegate of the Vatican, or the Vatican ambassador to the United States. Challengers to facts will always pop up. In the alert notification of February 15, 2017, Father Alex Acklin of the LA Archdiocese stated, "Father Radecki does not possess the faculties to minister as a Roman Catholic priest." I've been told that my name's on their hit list of clergy with no permission to minister in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. After the Second Vatican Council, nearly all bishops and priests responsible for the care of souls defected and followed the new religion. Due to the current spiritual crisis, where there's so many heretical bishops in the post-conciliar church, the question arises as where faithful and traditional priests reserve their jurisdiction. I'll first explain about ordinary and delegated jurisdiction during the reign of Pope Pius XII, which was before Vatican II. A true pope receives jurisdiction directly from Christ. The most probable opinion, because it's still debated among theologians, is that residential bishops, in other words, bishops appointed for Los Angeles or Chicago or Detroit, etc., receive jurisdiction through the pope. In turn, a residential bishop delegates jurisdiction to the priest who operate in his diocese and who are answerable to him since they are under his authority. Jurisdiction is necessary for the validity of the sacraments of matrimony and penance. A bishop gives jurisdiction called faculties to the priest in his diocese. When traveling to another diocese, priests need to obtain faculties from the local bishop. This is much the same as with, let's see, somebody in the LA Sheriff's Department who would not have jurisdiction in another city, even though he's a deputy. The present problems of jurisdiction arises because we have no legitimate pope and the chair of St. Peter is vacant. The false pope, together with his cardinals and bishops, are not teaching Catholic doctrine, but in its place modernism, ecumenism, and heresy. Manifest heretics immediately lose all jurisdiction. In addition, the new rite used for the consecration of bishops since 1968 is certainly invalid. Due to the present situation, traditional Catholic priests who derive orders from Archbishop Tuck lack ordinary or delegated jurisdiction. Where can they receive jurisdiction? They cannot receive it from an invalidly consecrated heretic. The Catholic Church is a benevolent mother who, for the benefit of the faithful, provides the sacraments and sacramentals for the welfare of their souls. In the urgent situation of our times, when souls are in grave spiritual need, and since the channels of ordinary and delegated jurisdiction are not available, the Church not only supplies jurisdiction for consecrating bishops without papal mandate, as explained previously, but also supplies jurisdiction for priests since it cannot be gotten the normal way. And there are certain situations, and these are mentioned in church law or canon law, and pertain only to validly ordained priests. So the first one is Canon 209, and they call it the friendly canon. In common error and positive and probable doubt of law or fact, the Church supplies jurisdiction. Concerning this canon, theologians Capello and Nolden declared, "There is no question the validity of absolution given with supply jurisdiction within the terms of the canon, nor does the question of lawfulness arise when coming to a decision about an action already performed in good faith. And in another case is when the sacraments are requested by the faithful and no other priest is available. This is Canon 2261. If that's the case, excommunicated priests, suspended priests, etc., may validly and licitly administer the sacraments. So a fortiori, in other words, from a stronger argument, the Church certainly supplies jurisdiction to traditional Catholic bishops and priests who are not excommunicated. And then a third condition in which a church supplies jurisdiction is also mentioned in Canon 2261, and that is to vitandi excommunicated priests. So vitandi means those who are designated to be avoided. Okay, let's say like Martin Luther or somebody notorious like that. But this is what the church says. They can administer the sacraments to a person who is in danger of death and request them because you're a priest forever. You have the power. The church supplies jurisdiction, even in that case. And then the Roman ritual, the book we use for administering the sacraments and blessing your rosaries, etc., right, says, when there's danger of death, any priest, whether approved for hearing confessions or not, can validly and licitly absolve any penitent from whatever sins or censures, no matter in what way reserved or how notorious. And this even when an approved priest is available, the Church supplies jurisdiction. Divine law obliges traditional Catholic priests and bishops to confer the sacraments and also provides legitimate deputation and apostolic mission for their apostolate. If some people claim, okay, we don't have a mission. Traditional Catholic priests weren't given this mission from God. Yes, out of charity, God gives us this mission for the salvation of souls. Since so many bishops and priests invested with the jurisdiction for the care of souls have defected from the Catholic Church through modernism and false ecumenism, their obligation now devolves to faithful Catholic priests. They confer the sacraments because our Lord has made it our duty. And then just in closing, since the sacraments were instituted for the welfare of souls, the Church supplies jurisdiction to traditional Catholic priests so they can administer them to the faithful. Taking in consideration the universal apostasy, supply jurisdiction allows traditional Catholic priests to fulfill their sacerdotal functions. Therefore, Bishop Pivoronis and the priests working with him throughout the world hold that the Church supplies jurisdiction for their administration of the sacraments, for the benefit of the faithful, especially if there's no one else to give them. The salvation of souls is the supreme law. The Catholic Church supplies me the jurisdiction necessary to function as a traditional Catholic priest, even if not recognized by the post-conciliar Church's Archdiocese of Los Angeles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.